Journalism Sports Talk. Your host, Terrell Jenkins.
Let me go and wet that whistle real quick because we are back. Journalism Sports Talk, episode 195. It's been a minute. Hope everybody had a good holidays, Thanksgiving, and everything like that. I know I did, which I'll talk about in a second. But thank you all for watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, at Redlism Pod on X, baby. Check us out on our Facebook page and a TikTok at Redlism Sports Talk. Thank you to the patrons. I don't feel like I give the patrons enough love lately. I'm sorry. Patrons, you're always support. Thank you for your support. Couldn't do it without y'all and the support of the people that watch and tune in and comment or join in. You know, a lot of things like that. But Thanksgiving, yeah, we just had Thanksgiving. I got to be in Richmond with family. Oh, my family, it was so amazing. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing that I wanted, that I was looking forward to so much, was Thanksgiving, to be with family. So I wanted to be with family. I want to take time off work to unwind and just relax, you know, and have a good time and just whatever. And in the words of my Aunt Barbara, and did. Yo, Aunt Barbara, thank you for your hospitality. You know what I'm saying? I really appreciate it. You made it feel like home. We really appreciate it, man. So, but on with the show. I could talk about them forever. I'm just cheesing anyway, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, love for the Commanders, love for my goats right there, my goats, and then all the love right there for my mama. 195, we're going to be talking about JMU is going bowling. James Madison University here in Harrisonburg, Virginia is going bowling. Can you believe this? This is crazy. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the college football rankings. It's stirring up some stuff. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to tell you my opinion on it. And I'm going to tell you my opinion on why I think things happened the way they did. The NFL organizations, we're seeing so many backup quarterbacks out here. So I want to talk about the franchises. I want to talk about the teams, the owners, what y'all going to do. Because there's so many teams have to choose and decide about their quarterbacks, what they want to do for the draft and things like that. And then we're going to talk about week 13 in the NFL. We're going to talk about things that I don't want to see. And then, of course, some things that I do want to see. Not going to really dive into the games and all that. That's more of a raw show. But I want to talk about some things I do want to see and some things I don't want to see when it comes to week 13. So here we go. You know what I'm saying? Because on Relevant Sports Talk, we talk about sports from Hall of Famers to the local talent. And this is James Madison University. This is local talent right here. Because they are bringing up the big time storylines. And that's where we're going to start right there. The big time storylines, as you can see. I'm in Homerville right now. Because James Madison is going to be eligible to play in a bowl game. They got picked. They're going to be in a bowl game. You know, we look at JMU. Since I've been living in Harrisonburg, you know, they were at FCS school. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Nothing wrong with FCS, but, you know, your FCS school playoffs a little different. Now, they've been good. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they've been some scrubs. That's why they got moved up anyway. But, you know, I personally didn't know if they were going to be able to transition that fast in the FBS. I mean, you know, Sun Belt, whatever, but it's still FBS. Not only did they do that when they went up to the FBS, they kind of dominated in their division. They more than held their own, put it that way. They weren't bowl eligible last year, but you know, saying they still showed, hey, we do belong. Yeah, we got our Raptors up there from the FCS schools and championships and stuff like that, and sending people to the league or whatnot. But now they going to a bowl game, which means they're gonna get more recruits. And big time stuff like that. So this area, hopefully, what I hope happens out of this is that the local talent from the high schools around this area and different regions that don't get noticed now, because they'll be like, oh, that's where James Madison is. So I'm hoping that all the traffic I gotta drive by on Port Road and do all this to get to the highway to deal with all the kids walking down the street thinking they got bumpers on their hips and everything else. I hope all that is just gonna leave way for the future athletes in this area to get recognized more than they have been in the past. So I'm trying to look on the positive side of it. But it's still exciting that a team like in this area that's, you know, doing things they do. And JMU, you know, Relics and Sports Talk, we support JMU too. So, you know, we're going to work together and try to do some things. We're going to try to do some things. But here's my fear. Yeah, they fought the NCAA, but I feel like the NCAA was like, we need to put them in for the storyline aspect. But since I've been here and since I've been watching James Madison football, it seems like coaches have come as a stepping stone to go somewhere else. So I fear with Kurt Cignetti, who I definitely have appreciation for because he was at Elon before he came to James Madison, and we went on a trip, recruiting trip, my son, and the guy offered him a scholarship right there and wanted him to come. He was hugging up on him and everything else. And, you know, this is a guy that coached, you know, and coached at Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Coached NFL running backs. And so I've always had high regard for him, whatever. And now he's the coach here, James Madison. He's been successful, you know, a couple years that he was still in FCS. Then he moved the program up and was successful again. And now they're going to a bowl. I hope he likes the area and the people treated him good that he'll stay. But I worry, especially with different jobs that I see other people getting, which we'll get to, you know, I worry that somebody's going to pluck him, yo. Some bigger school is going to pluck him. And I mean, you can't be mad at him for that. But I worry about it because, you know, when you start winning, it's like, ooh, keep winning. And all my teams suck. So, you know, I need something to grab on to. So we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll see how they go, who they play in the bowl game. We'll talk about that at some other times. But before the bowl games, we got to have the college football playoff. And the rankings came out. And I was thinking to myself, like, are they going to make this like a TV show like LeBron saying he's joining the Heat? Or is this going to be like a real deal thing? Because they got rid of the BCS because they said computers were analyzing and it didn't work. They wanted humans. You got 12 people. 12 people, different conferences. Eye tests, can see things. It's not just what the computer tells you. It's other things. So we want all this different change and everything. It almost was the exact same thing as BCS was. And if you look at it, you're looking at the teams. You're looking at the top 8 teams. You're looking at, which I can't wait for it to be 12 because I want to see how that format pans out. I hope it's just not all the big. I hope they can throw in some smaller stuff, smaller schools too, to get something else to it. But before we get that far, I'm going to go through the top 8. You know, Georgia, number 1. 2 straight championships, trying to be the first team to get 3 straight. They haven't always looked the best, but they're undefeated, and they ain't lost in almost 3 years, you know. So it's kind of hard for them not to be still number 1. So I'm cool with that. Then you got the number 2 team, S.C.H.N. What up, S.C.H.N.? Michigan, stand up. Jim Harbaugh puts that passion in you. He instills that stuff, whether he's there or not. He's going to build you up beforehand and afterhand. That's why you're going to see tons of these NFL jobs go after him, which we'll get later on in the show. But they're coming after Harbaugh. You're going to see other coaches get fired, and Harbaugh's going to have the pick of his litter. So I'm going to have 2 teams where we're going to discuss where Harbaugh should go. What would fit him better? But that's just a prequel to what's going on, you know what I'm saying? But so Michigan, you know, big win against your rival Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Big time win. You're still undefeated. Your head coach missed 3 games. 3 important games. You know what I'm saying? And Maryland wasn't no scrubs. So whatever. You know what I'm saying? Penn State, Ohio State, you know what I'm saying, and Maryland. You know what I'm saying? I would say they would probably be harder than playing Iowa. Iowa's good defense, but it should be okay. So I'm cool with Michigan being number 2. You know what I'm saying? They were number 3. They moved to number 2. We look at the next team, Washington, Pac-12. They not dead yet. And Washington looks correct. Number 3 team, you know, I'm cool with that too. I'm cool with them being number 3. They're undefeated, 12-0. The 4 12-0 teams are in the top 4. So I'm cool with Washington. Now this is where we get hairy right now because you get to Florida State. Florida State, number 4. They've had some tough calls, but I mean, every school has a tough call sometimes. You know what I mean? That's what happens in championship runs. But you lose your star quarterback. I'm talking about your star quarterback. The game changer. He can do different things. He's one of them quarterbacks that you can put on different teams and be like, okay, he's going to elevate that. Now you lose him. But you're still undefeated. So this is where I think the committee had their toughest struggle, because if you place Florida State at number four, you're changing the dynamic of the other schools 5 through 8. You're changing everything. Like, if you put Florida State like 5, which is out already, you have no obligation to put them into the 4, no matter how, if they beat Louisville in the ACC championship game or not. You have no obligation. But now, by putting Florida State at 4, if they win their game, I don't know, we'll get to that. But number 5, Oregon. Talented team. I mean, Bo Nix. Bo Nix been what? This is like 10th year in college football. And they talk about him, the Heisman? Bo Nix to win the Heisman? Bo Nix didn't win it the first 7 years he played in college football. You better call that the Grand Heisman. I mean, this guy's older than me. I mean, what's going on? Bo Nix. I mean, come on, Bo Nix. But, and they talk about getting drafted too? What? Bo Nix? I'm sitting here like, I can't lie. I mean, he looks better, but I mean, damn. If you play college football for 15 years, by your 15th year, you should be okay playing against them younger guys. I mean, what do you think? Bo Nix. But anyway, number 5, Oregon. You lost to Washington earlier in the year. That's your only loss. Washington keeps winning. So if you're Oregon, you're like, okay, we might still have a chance. But here we go, number 6. This is huge for me. Huge for me, because by putting Ohio State at 6, you lost to the now number 2 team in the country, Michigan. Barely on the road. On the road, it took a last second interception for you to lose. On the road in the Big House, one of the toughest places to play. And you at 6? And you're at 6 now. And which makes it so tough at being 6, because you don't play another game. You don't have a game to play. Why can't Michigan and Ohio State be in two different, like, whatever, East-West, whatever, in their rivalry? I know I like seeing them play every year, but they, I don't know, make it one league then so they can play Big Ten championship game too. I mean, come on, I'd watch it again. But getting to my point, they lost to the number 2 team in the country. Barely on the road. And they're at number 6. But Oregon's number 5, who lost to the number 3 team in the country, and it wasn't close like that. It wasn't close like that. So how the heck, and they both got one loss. How the heck does that happen? That's a disservice to Ohio State, who has also beat some other teams. Yeah, you might not think Notre Dame was a big win, but that's a win. You know, they beat other teams. Penn State, big wins. These ain't scrub teams. I'm not saying that Oregon played tough teams, but I mean, USC, what is USC looking like? Colorado almost beat them. You know what I'm saying? Like, Notre Dame beat them. Beat the brakes off them. I'm just saying that I cannot believe that Oregon is number 5 ahead of Ohio State. That's Ohio State. What do you have in it? What do you have in a chance now? I don't know. Number 7, Texas. You're Texas. You lost in your, what, Red River rivalry shootout, whatever, to Oklahoma. But you beat Alabama. But Alabama's number 8 with a loss. Hot. Yo, Texas, I understand. You had one loss. It was a rivalry game. But they kind of beat you a little bit. Like, it was a big old thing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you beat Bama by 10, but that was at the very beginning of the year before their quarterback figured out that he was a dude. You know what I'm saying? Before he figured out he was a dude. And so I'm like, shh. It's tough, but I feel like Alabama got screwed like this before. And no, I'm not an Alabama apologist at all. I hate Alabama. No offense, Brandon, the GOAT Hands, bro, who's co-host on the Raw Show Fridays. Check him out, the GOAT. And back there, you know, defender of the star, George Teague. No offense to you guys. Roll Tide. Roll all the way down the damn hill. I don't care. But anyway, I'm just jealous. But so when you look at it now, before the championship games even happen, Texas has no shot to make the college football playoffs. None. No shot at all. They have no chance to make it at all. They can't make it. They can't make it. And here's the reasons why. Because if Georgia loses to Alabama, let's say Georgia loses to Alabama. Are you putting Texas above Georgia? Nope. Is Georgia going to make the top four if they lose? For you to think about that, that means Texas has no chance. And that's something to think about. If Georgia, I remember who was it, Ohio State, that backed their way back in there. You know what I mean? Number one, lose a championship, whatever. I'm just saying, if Georgia loses to Alabama, and it's not like a super duper blowout or nothing, it's semi-close with that, whatever. Do they stay in the top four and take Florida State's spot? I don't know. Let's get to the next team. Michigan. Michigan plays out. If Michigan loses, are they still in? Could Michigan find their way out of the top four with a loss after beating Ohio State? I think Ohio State being six really hurts Michigan, because if they were higher, Michigan can at least say, oh, Ohio State's number five. We beat them. They got one loss. We got one loss. We should at least be four. Now being six, that opens it up a little bit for Oregon. Because if Washington loses to Oregon, does that put Oregon in? Oregon's number five. Do they move up? Washington, are they going to? They beat Oregon once too. Does Washington go out? Or are they still in even with a loss? But if you're going to put them in with a loss, that means you got to put Oregon in too. That means Florida State. What? You got to hope that Michigan loses. I mean, this is going to be crazy the way they did these rankings about what can happen right now. You know, because FSU, you have to win your game. You have to beat Louisville. You have to beat Louisville. And you might actually have to beat them badly to get some hope, because I don't know if you win, you're in as a lock. Every other team, I can say if they win, they're in. Not Florida State. Because if they could win, and who could jump them? Well, I guess if the top three win, then I guess they probably would make it, because Oregon would lose. Or would you put Ohio State? That's what I said. Why would Ohio State be right like number five so you can debate Florida State? That's what I don't understand. They don't play nobody else. They could have put Oregon at six, and if Oregon beat Washington, they would jump Ohio State because it's a better. You see what I'm saying? Why would you put Ohio State at six instead of five? You mess up all kinds of things that you could do to bail yourself out. Because don't let Bama beat Georgia. Because if Bama beats Georgia and Texas wins their game, how do you put Bama above Texas if you're doing that head-to-head crap? But if Bama beats Georgia, Bama and Georgia should probably both still be in, right? Or what's going to happen? I just think this is going to be crazy, because I can see crazy stuff happening. I can see Bama beating Georgia and Florida State losing. Because if Florida State loses, and let's say Oregon beat Washington, you got Oregon, Washington, Ohio State, all these teams trying to get Bama, all fighting for this one spot. Unless you don't put Washington in. It's going to be crazy. My head's going crazy just thinking about it. But that's what we love. We love talk because we got those big-time storylines in every matchup. Or maybe here is my hands, bro. What do you call it? Where I think that they doing something behind the scenes. It's a reason for it and all this. Do you think they put Bama and Ohio State in those spots so Michigan had to make the playoffs? Maybe they want Michigan to win. I don't know. It's some crazy stuff going on. Speaking of crazy stuff going on, going back to Kurt Cignetti from James Madison University, who's going bowling. That's right, we going bowling. Kurt Cignetti, one of them top rated. I mean, he's got to be on people's radars about jobs. He has to be. But I'm looking at a team in the SEC, Arkansas Razorbacks. Arkansas Razorbacks are bringing back Bobby Petrino. If you don't know about Bobby Petrino, let me tell you. Let me fill you in real quick about Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino was a coach. He was a coach at Louisville. Did very good. Had a good coaching career. You know, he built up the program, whatever. Then he became a head coach at Atlanta. Quit in the middle of the night. Put notes in lockers and shit. I'm not lying. Then he took the job at Arkansas. He in the SEC now. He in big boy country. Bobby P in the SEC. Did well. They're 3 years, two years. He had the best 2 years in school history since like 1950 or 60 something. You know, he was highly ranked one of the years. They won 10 games. They won 11 games. Did great. Unfortunately, he was having an affair. He was having an affair on his wife with some aide or somebody that he hired, which, whatever, none of our business. But he gets on a motorcycle and he's speeding and he wrecks his motorcycle. And then they try to say, you know, they're investigating it and everything else. He lied to the university saying it, like, you know, trying to put it off like he wasn't with the girl and all. Yo, lied to the university. Got banished, got fired, started out at an FCS school, you know, then he built his way up as a coordinator, did this. He was a coordinator at, was it Duke? Yeah, it was at Duke, because the Duke coach is going to Texas A&M now. The offensive coordinator there. And now he's going to be the offensive coordinator at Arkansas? I know he's not with his wife no more, because she would not allow no shit like that. But my thing is, how is a university just, like, we know what this dude did, and he lied to you. But winning's that important because that's the money. Because that's the money. The power of the dollar makes you turn a blind eye to shit. It's freaking crazy. Like, people like him get multiple opportunities at jobs. It's just unbelievable. I mean, we got people like him. We got people like Urban Meyer out here. This guy was awful in the NFL. He's going to the bar with young girls. And now you see him on every college show talking about the teams. What is going on? How does this even work, yo? I don't even understand how this works. It's crazy to me. But Bobby Petrino, hats off to you, sir, because I don't know what you did, but whatever. I guess, I mean, it's the power of the dollar. You know, the power of the dollar. Ugh. And it blows my mind. You know, it blows my mind. Speaking of the power of the dollar, NFL draft's going to come up. They talk about the two quarterbacks, all these NFL teams' decisions to make, which we will bring up in our next segment. But probably the biggest wild card out of all of them is Shedeur Sanders. Shall I stay or shall I go? And people go back and forth with this. They go back and forth and they say, you know what I'm saying? He's got the life. He's got NIL deals. He's making money. He's big man on campus. He's rich already. His dad is prime. All his games are going to be prime time because he's prime. You know, and he's a great athlete. And maybe he can sharpen up some skills or something like this. I see all that. But I say, yeah, you got all that already. You got all, the only thing that you would be doing differently is you wouldn't be having an NIL deal and going to a fake class and partying with college people. You be going to the NFL partying with rich, famous people. You know what I'm saying? You in college, you already dapping up LeBron, everybody else at basketball games. Imagine when you go to the NFL. And the thing about it is, people are like, oh, he's got this. This guy is playing with people that he didn't even get to train with and do stuff with. One of the worst offensive line in football. And they were one of the worst running teams until later on in the year. He's the most sacked quarterback in the FBS. Yeah, they've taken some hits. They've lost some things. They're losing some recruits, things like that. But you gotta cook that. You gotta cook that fish while the grease is hot, baby. Cook it while it's hot. You don't want to come back and say, "Oh, this dude is a fraud. This dude is Vince Young out here." You know what I'm saying? Like, don't give him a chance to realize that you ain't good. Don't give him a chance to do that, because when that happens, then you can't be as successful as you want to be in the longevity with it. Fool people and pretend like you good. You know what I'm saying? Fool people and pretend like you good. Like, so many of them have. So many of them have, Jamarcus Russell. I mean, there's tons of them that seemed like they was good. But how's that working out, Mitchell Trubisky? We'll talk about you later. But I'm just saying, like, why not? This is the perfect opportunity, because everything that we said that was against you is a positive also. You were doing all these things as you were the most sacked quarterback. You're doing all these things as a Colorado quarterback, which Colorado ain't never really done shit. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you can use his negatives as positives. And also, look, last year, we looked at the quarterbacks. We saw my man with the Carolina Panthers, Alabama. He's a smart guy. He's the great choice. He's the most intelligent. He can read the... You're also a midget, dude. You're also a midget, and you ain't doing nothing, Bryce Young. Then we got C.J. Stroud out there. Oh, he's an idiot. He can't read a playbook. Da, 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 da. But his natural talent is showcasing big-time things, because his coach is letting him do that, unlike coaches that coach Justin Fields. But we'll get to that later. But here's my biggest wild card. People were saying Will Levis could have been the number one pick in the draft because he's the prototype looking guy. He's big. He's strong. He can run. He's been Roethlisberger. He can do this. This dude is getting me 6 points in fantasy every week. He ain't doing nothing. But then you got somebody like Anthony Richardson, who they dogged him and said he can't throw. He had one good season of doing this, and he can't do that. He's just a freak. Then he goes to the combine. He's a freak athlete. Then we see him in the NFL. Yeah, he's still a little raw, but you can't teach his raw. You can't teach his raw at all. I think that's what Sanders needs to do. He has some raw stuff to him. Go out there and let it get to the NFL. Let them coach you. Let them bring out the best in your dad. Your dad's going to get you that far, but he's got to coach that rest of that whole daggone team. You're going to get personal coaches. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. And you could be the number three pick in the draft. You never know what can happen. You might get chosen to replace Justin Fields, which we'll get to later. So I say go to the draft, Shador. And if you got any prime in you, and I know you got the blood flowing in you, you got to be thinking to yourself, like, I know how great my dad was. He might be one of the best ever. Why can't I be better at the quarterback spot where you get judged the most? You get judged the most at the quarterback spot more than any other position. You know what I'm saying? Well, go be it and go do it and go handle things. That's what I'm saying. Go do it while it's hot, baby. Fry that fish, Uncle Pete. Whoa! Let's go. Let's go. But before we get to the NFL with their teams and the QB futures and the return of that guy is coming back again, we'll be right back. Relics of Sports Talk, episode 195. We're going to jump in to the NFL QB situations for different franchises and where they should go. Should they stay? Should they go? Who could replace what? Draft status. We're going to get into all that in just 1 second. All right, welcome back. Here we go. Here we go. So, Aaron Rodgers. Breaking news, Aaron Rodgers has returned to being Aaron Rodgers. He's the guy we all remember him being. He tried to put the wool over our eyes and say, "Oh, take my $10 million back. Oh, I want to get this guy. I'm going to go to Sauce Gardner to a basketball game, and I'm going to work out with..." You're still Aaron Rodgers. You out here talking about, "I'm coming back from my injury." Nah, nah, nah. You know you ain't playing? You know you ain't playing? You just want to be out there. Like, look at me, look at me, look at me. You said you wouldn't come back if your team had a chance to make the playoffs and make a run. Well, looking at it, I'm not a mathematician, but it looks like you got about 4% chance of making the playoffs. Four. So stop trying to act like it's about the team when it's just about Aaron. It's all about Aaron. Like it always has been. Like it always has been. And I was sitting here like, man, I used to hate Aaron Rodgers. He's all right, man. Yeah, I was fooled. I was fooled. I won't be fooled again, though, Aaron. No more. I mean, it's ridiculous. But see, here's the problem with it. The problem is his ego might be big enough to cause a super wedge within the organization, just like he did with Green Bay. Because he could be like, I want to play. But he wants to play because he wants to prove, look what I did and nobody else could do. Ha ha, Cam Akers did it. Anyway, or the owner could be saying, or the GM could be like, yo, we need him to play because our season sucked. And people had that bad taste in their mouth from Zach Wilson. So at least give him some hope about what's going to happen next year. Make a play. I'd be saying, you know that I'm sitting there like, dude, we can't make the playoffs. Why would you risk getting hurt again and mess up next year? We need you for next year. We need you for next year. But then the owner's going to look, or the GM owner, whoever's going to make the decision, is going to look at it like, but if we tell him he can't play, he might just say, I'm going to retire. Then we won't have him anyway. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. What are you doing? What are y'all doing? But they have no choice because they have basically exposed Zach Wilson saying, you're not that guy, and you were a bad pick just like Trey Lance was. Oops, we made a mistake. Now we've damaged you to go to another team and be a backup. Sam Darnold is surviving. We'll see. He's going to be a backup somewhere, but it's always going to be on his legacy. You know what I'm saying? It's always going to be on that. And that sucks because the organization has to do whatever he wants to do because they need him for next year. Because if he doesn't come back next year, and you've already shown Zach Wilson's not going to be there because he sucks. What are you going to do? What are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? You got these young star-studded players on their rookie deals and stuff. They're going to start needing money soon. It's just going to be a mess if New York messes this up. If they mess this up, it could be devastating for that organization. It could be devastating. You know, so then when we get to other teams, a team, we're going to start with a team that was there last year, the Bears. They were in the same situation. Do we trade Justin Fields and draft the quarterback? Or do we build around Justin Fields and da 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 da? 1 year later, it's the same question. It's the same question. And everybody's saying, let him go. Let him go. Use your pick and draft one of these three quarterbacks. La da da da. Do it, do it. You're going to the first pick. You can get Caleb from USC. La, 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 la. Which they might do and probably will do because think about it. Justin Fields is going to want to get some money. What, either is it next year or the year after? He's going to want a contract. So you're going to be stuck with the whole fifth-year option. What, give him an extension? I mean, you're going to be stuck with all that kind of stuff like Baker was. And Cleveland said, bye, bye, bye. So it's just one of them things like, I could see them moving on. I could see them moving on from him. And when you say if he did go, what team would fit him? And I'd be looking around and I'm like, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh. Put him on Pittsburgh with those weapons and that running attack and the physicality of the team. Pittsburgh. He played at Ohio State, you know what I'm saying? Even though he wanted to go to Georgia, whatever, whatever. I just say Pittsburgh. But if, in my opinion, if I was in charge of the Bears, I would keep him. I would keep him. I'd use my top pick to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Get him another Ohio State boy, kind of like Burrow and Chase LSU, you know what I'm saying? That little camaraderie, you know how they do it. And then you got a Marvin Harrison Jr. who's already going to be a star. He's already going to be a star his rookie year. He'll be one of the highest rookies drafted in fantasy next year, guaranteed. And then you got DJ Moore on the other side. You know what I mean? I just feel like, go ahead and build that up. Go ahead and build that up, because then that trade looks like you gave them Bryce Young. You got DJ Moore and Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that would be woof. You put those kind of weapons around him, he ain't got to be the most accurate thrower. I'm just saying. But we'll see what happens with that. We'll see what happens with Fields. It's going to be interesting. Another team that I don't know why he came back, because I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they're showcasing him for trades, but Kyler Murray. They say now Kyler Murray and the coach got a good relationship. I don't know. But is he going to stay? They gave every inclination that he wasn't going to stay. Like, he wasn't going to be there. And I'm sitting there like, okay, well, Kyler Murray, he's not going to be there. Well, what's going to happen now? I mean, what's going on? I don't know. So, then we look at, if I had to pick a team for Murray, I'd probably say go to the Raiders. Go to the Raiders. Raiders need something. I mean, Jimmy G and O'Connell and if you keep Pierce as a coach, I bet you Kyler Murray ain't going to be the little punk then. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So, Kirk Cousins. You know, his injury, whatever. Where are you going to go, Kirk Cousins? Because I was saying Kyler Murray might go to the Vikings. If I'm the Vikings right now and I'm looking at the landscape of the quarterback situation, you still can make the playoffs and you're using these different quarterbacks. I'm re-signing Kirk Cousins to a 3-year deal. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm signing him to a 3. I'm keeping him. I mean, he's a model citizen. You know what I'm saying? He obviously has a good rapport with your star weapons on your team, Justin Jefferson. I mean, I'm just saying, the team adores him. They love him. Why not? It's kind of like how Dallas has Dak. Like, they adore this guy, but they always come up short. But they put up numbers to make you think that you that close. Like, they make you think. And then, but they got good characters. They got good character people. And that's what happens, man. That's what happens. So it's going to be interesting what they do with them. We look at the Patriots. The Patriots are going to probably get one of the highest picks now. They might be looking at a quarterback because obviously they don't like Mac Jones. And Bailey Zappe might start or is starting or whatever. So then I look at somebody like Mac Jones and I'm like, yo, I mean, 49ers are about to get you second in the draft over Trey Lance. Which I think if they did, there would be nobody else. He'd be the starting quarterback to this day for the 49ers. And they might have won the Super Bowl already. I'm just saying. I think that's the difference of organizations. And that sucks saying the Patriots organization. But I think it's just the chemistry of the style of a quarterback that he is. Of what he can do. Because Brock Purdy looks like a poor man. I mean, Mac Jones, I mean, it's similar. It's not a white thing. It's just, you know what I mean? They're similar to me. Similar to me. But I'll tell you what. I think Mac Jones should go. I think Mac Jones can get a cheaper deal because of his lack of success in New England. So he might not demand that big-time money like Daniel Jones trying to rape people. Mac Jones, get out of your Falcon mind on this Variety Sports Network to the Atlanta Falcons. Yo, Mac Jones would be back in Alabama. He'd have freak athletes everywhere, just like he did in Alabama. Mac Jones to the Falcons? I think that's a perfect match, yo. Mac Jones to the Falcons. I think he can get the ball to that talent. And their offensive line's pretty good. They like to run the ball. You know, defense is improving. That division. Mac Jones to the Falcons. If I'm the Falcons, I'm inquiring as soon as the season's over about getting him. Why not? It's trash in New England. That could be your treasure in Atlanta. Sneaky right there. I'm saying it first on Relevance of Sports Talk, episode 195. Talking about the quarterbacks. Who's going to stay? Who's going to go? So we talked about them. Now we talk about the team, some of the teams. Green Bay. I've seen y'all go back and forth with Love. You signed him to a 2-year cheap deal. So you really have one more year to evaluate if you want to. But you know how it is. If he thinks he did good, he's going to be like, let's go ahead and make that happen. You know, so if he did sucky, then the team would be like, I think we decided to let you go. But he's been right there. Like, he's like the fantasy quarterback, like the number 6 or 9 or something, right in the top. Like, but he shows flashes, but is that enough? Is that enough? That young team, I say keep him because that young team that they have, they can all grow up together. Grow up together, no Aaron Rodgers, no big old head trying to take all the spotlight. The coach can actually coach now. They had injuries all year. I think by next year, Green Bay could be really scary. And my cousin Day-Day, that's his squad. So we'll see. We'll see. The next one, Baker Mayfield. He's shown flashes. He went from outcast to back in the crib. He might be on the sofa, but he back in the crib. But is it gonna be enough? Is he doing enough there to stay in the crib? Maybe to get his own room. I don't know. That's gonna be a tough decision for Tampa Bay. If they think they're ready to win now, because Mike Evans wants a new contract, you gotta figure out what you're gonna do with that roster. If you let Baker go, what are you gonna do? You don't wanna go to Trask or whatever. You don't wanna waste Godwin and Mike Evans and some of those defensive stars you got on the team. Do you want to waste them for their last 3 years of their career? Or do you want to take a shot, especially in that division? So it's going to be interesting. And Baker's not demanding much money. So it might be that you keep Baker and try to build, using that extra money to build around him. And that's crazy to say, but Baker might be here to stay. He might be going and putting some pictures on the walls. You know what I'm saying? Putting clothes in the dresser. He's getting up in the crib. Getting up in the crib. And the next one, I'm going to say, my boy Keith, Kenny Pickett. You were high on Kenny Pickett. You said Kenny Pickett was going to be the truth, yo. Yeah, he the truth. He the truth of what everybody else said he was going to be. I said, you got to let him go. Let him go. Let him go. You got to let him go. I said, you go after one of these guys that you're trying to get rid of, a Kirk Cousins or a Murray or a Fields. I take any of them with Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh's team around them will be able to hold their own with somebody that can actually do something. You know what I'm saying? They can do something. I know Matt Canada's gone or whatever, whatever, but you still got to do something. The next one, he already got his money. He raped the Giants. Daniel Jones, he's been hurt. Was it fair that he was hurt? Did he go to the playoffs the year before? Are you going to stick with this? Saquon Barkley, same thing. 1 year. I said this before when we were talking about the running backs when he was holding out. I said the same thing. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, they might be gone after this year if it doesn't work out just because of these facts. They have an opportunity right now to shed the most salary they can shed all day. And they got rookies everywhere, second-year players every year, everywhere on both sides of the ball. It's crazy how much money they would save, and they could invest that in something else. They're going to get one of the top picks. Maybe they go out and get one of these quarterbacks that we keep talking about, Derek May. I mean, you never know how this might pan out. And then Daniel Jones, where do you land? Where do you land, Daniel Jones? Are you a Raider? Are you a Falcon? You know what I mean? It's just different things like that, bro. It's different things. And the last one I'm gonna talk about is Geno. Geno, I mean, we knew what you were. You showcased, and you got Russell Wilson out of town, took his job. You rode, made the playoffs, got smashed. You were actually my pick to win the division this year. I was stupid. Now you got a big game against Dallas tomorrow. If you don't win, you're 6-6. You might not make the playoffs. Do they stick with you? Do they stick with you? Because they're not investing no money. They gave you some money, but they can get out of it just like Daniel Jones. Just like the Daniel Jones contract. So it's going to be interesting. And then what happens? Is he a starter somewhere? Does somebody give him another starting job? I think Geno would have a hard time getting another starting job if he's let go or something by the Seahawks. I really do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. Okay, I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to bring it up because I know Darren's going to be like, what about Carr? What about Carr? Do they stick with him or do they say, you know what, dude? The numbers don't lie. Jameis Winston was getting the ball to our best player alive, and you wasn't like, I know they got injuries everywhere. Kamara missed some games. Do they still ride with Carr? I guess it may be determined by how they finish the year. They got a big game this week. Big old game this week against Detroit stand up. But if they can happen to win this division, maybe they do. But if they falter against this horrible division, do they let Derek Carr go and roll with Winston? I mean, so many things are going to happen this offseason. It's crazy from coaches to quarterbacks, different franchises. It's going to be nuts. Big time nuts. So since I brought up coaches and we were talking about Jim Harbaugh, I think Jim Harbaugh will be gone. I think he's coming to the NFL. I think somebody's going to entice him dramatically to do it. So two teams that I think will be firing their coach that are great jobs. Not no Carolina job, not the Washington job, not none of them jobs. I'm talking about two teams that are ready to win and have been ready to win, but they have coaches that always just get in their way. And I'm not talking about Mike McCarthy because they're doing decent this year, but he was one of those anyway, but he's not right now. I'm talking about the Bills. You were supposed to be in the playoffs. You're supposed to be one of them teams. You keep shooting yourself in the foot. I don't know what's going on. People try to blame Josh Allen all the time. Josh Allen is a top 4 to 5 quarterback in the NFL. Yes, he is. I'm tired of people stop talking about Josh Allen. Yeah, he makes some turnovers here and there, whatever. He's a star. He's a superstar. He's a top 5 quarterback, easy, in the NFL. It's the coach's fault. It's the coach's fault. You got a defensive head coach, and he can't coach defense. You fired the offensive coordinator. Last time I checked, defense is doing all kinds of bum stuff, too. Is Von Miller still playing? I mean, what the hell's going on? I ain't seen him do nothing. I ain't seen him do nothing. And then the other one is the Chargers. Hey, I've been high on the Chargers, but we've been dogging the coach for years now. So I look at these two rosters. I don't think Eckler's going to be there. You know, I don't know what the Bills are going to do. They don't seem like they want to get any extra help anywhere. But Jim Harbaugh, which team would Jim Harbaugh put over the edge? Is one team that he could push over the edge? I look at the Bills. I say it's the Bills because, you know, all his success, he's always had a big quarterback, like a nice quarterback that can move, that can run around. Kaepernick, Alex Smith, you know what I'm saying? Different quarter college coaches, the same thing. And that division is still winnable. It's still definitely winnable. You know what I mean? He's got talent there. He can enhance other things. I think if he went to the Bills, I mean, both jobs are going to be good. Both jobs are going to be good jobs. I mean, look what the Denver coach is doing with Denver. And since we talk about that, nah, I won't bring that up yet. I'm going to talk about the things that I want to see and the things I don't want to see week 13. I'm going to start with the things I don't want to see first because we're about to wrap it up. This is going to be the last segment I do. Things I don't want to see week 13 NFL. Things you don't want to see. As I take a drink, I want you to think, I wonder if I'm going to say the same thing he does. If you're smart, you might. But look, I do not want to see any Aaron Rodgers pictures. I don't want to see film of him on the third practice field throwing. I don't want to see Taylor Swift jumping up and down. I don't want to see none of that. Don't want to see them at all. If they're not playing in the game, I don't want to see them anywhere. Don't talk about them. I don't want to see none of it. Gee. I don't want to see the XFL QB matchup between the Falcons and the Jets. Because all this talent on the field that they're going to be wasting, I'm a Washington fan, and we have no talent. And I'll be looking at Wilson and Sauce and Breece Hall. And then you go over to the other side, and you got the unicorn, Kyle Pitts. You got Drake London and all the and Bijan. All this talent, and the score might wind up being 6-6. Because the quarterbacks, I don't even know if they're good enough for XFL quarterbacks. You know what I mean? It might be USFL. I mean, I don't know what's going on. That's the QB matchup for that much talent. Two teams with that much talent on a team, and they might not even score 10 points each. I don't want to see that. And my last thing I don't want to see, well, this ain't even just week 13. I don't want to see the NFL put any. You got 6 teams on the bye week 13? We got 2 weeks to the fantasy playoffs, and you got 6 teams on the bye? That's half my squad. I need to win. I need to win. NFL, stop being haters. The coaches already do enough of that. The players, well, I'm not helping your fantasy team. I'm Justin Jefferson. NFL, 6 teams, week 13 bye? Week 13? Come on, bro. This is ridiculous. All right, let's get to some good stuff. You get me all worked up. Some things that I can't wait to see or I hope I see. Things that I want to see Week 13. I want to see it. The Steelers and the Browns. They're both 7-4. I don't know how. But I want to see Mitchell Trubisky and Joe Flacco lead both their teams to an 8-4 record so I can just crack up Joe Flacco and Mitchell Trubisky. 8-4. Browns Steelers. That would be crazy. I also want to see Denver and Houston. Both of them are 6-5. They're in the playoffs. How is this happening? How is this happening? They match up against each other. I want to see how this plays out. I definitely want to see how this plays out. The NFC South. I want to see who's going to win. Who's going to be winning the division after this week. We got two teams under 500 in the lead. And then Tampa Bay is one game below them. And all three of them could win their game or all three of them could lose their game. So I just want to see at the end of it and be like, who's in the lead now? Because it's just bouncing around like a ping pong ball going everywhere. Next thing I want to see, I want to see the Patriots bench Mac Jones. And Bailey Zappe. Why are you playing both of them? Ain't neither one of them your long-term goals. Why are they playing? You ain't got nothing to play for. You might as well lose and get a higher pick. It ain't like the Patriots don't try to cheat before. Deflate gate, water gate, spy gate, tail gate, what your mama make, who ate. I don't know. They got all kinds of stuff going on. Why not? But my thing is, why don't you play the former West Virginia quarterback? Yeah, that's my boy Davis team. Will Greer. He played for the Cowboys, you know, in the pregames and was killing. And was killing. In the preseason, he was killing. In the last game he played as a Cowboy, he was killing. And he still got released because they had enough quarterbacks or whatever. They kept Cooper Rush. I don't know. But Will Greer, give him a shot. He could be one of them diamonds in the roughs. You never know, dude. You never know what can happen. Why not play him? He's shown flashes. See what you got. You're playing Bailey Zappe. I mean, I want to see Will Greer play. I want to see him get an opportunity. Will Greer. I got three more things I want to see. I want to see Detroit to show up to the game, please. You're 8-3. You're supposed to be the top three team in the NFC. You're supposed to be maybe top four. You're supposed to be one of those that can battle with the Cowboys, the Niners, and the Eagles. You're supposed to be one of these teams that everybody's darling. You're supposed to be one of these teams that was doing things. You took you some fourth quarter, 4 minute down two scores miracle to win against the Bears, even though you Aiden Hutchinson couldn't get on the fumble and the ball got kicked out of bounds in my fantasy game and I lost. Or no, it was my bet. But the Lions, and then on Turkey Day, a game that y'all should have never keep having every year. Y'all should never be on Thanksgiving every year. What has Detroit done? What have you done for me lately? I'm just saying, Detroit, you don't even show up on Thanksgiving. Get destroyed. Can you show up, please, and say that you're still one of them teams? Because you're playing a Saints team that's trying to win their division. And they're at home, and they got a good defense. Detroit, stand up, please. That's the next thing I want to see. All right, two more things I want to see. I want to see tomorrow. I want to see the Dallas Cowboys at home destroy Seattle. I want to see you do it. And I'm not a Cowboy fan, but Dak Prescott is my fantasy QB, and I do have a little Tony Pollard also. So I do have some interest in them. But I want to see y'all step up and battle and play and stop falling apart every year. Because I'm tired of seeing the Eagles. I'm tired of hearing about the 49er fans. I'm tired of hearing about Detroit's fair weather, might be fake, Milli Vanilli, not real type stuff going on. I want to see another team. I want to see another team battle. And the Cowboys ain't won nothing since I was like two. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, come on, dude. I don't want to see the Eagles do shit and the 49ers. I like proving them wrong more than I like saying that they're right. Because I know their team is stout, but they keep getting everybody on their team. And I don't like super teams like that. Makes me mad because I can't even get one star on my team. Okay, we got a half a star, McLaurin, but We ain't got nobody else. I mean, Demon, Jonathan Allen, whatever. I mean, if they walked in the street, a regular person wouldn't know who the hell none of them are. Pissing me off. So I'm just jealous. Just jealous. Envious. But anyway, wrapping it up real quick. Wrapping it up. The last thing that I want to, that I hope to happen, that I want to see happen is, I want the 49er Eagle game to live up to the hype. The 49ers are favorite going against the Eagles in Philadelphia. We know how the game happened last year. Brock Purdy got hurt. They didn't have a quarterback to throw the ball. I want it to live up to the hype because the players are talking trash on each other. I mean, I feel like this is going to be an intense battle. I can't wait to see it. Cannot wait to see it. I mean, it's just going to be crazy. I hope it lives up to it. I don't want to see no 30-4 back, 30-10. I want it to come down to some crazy Bills versus Eagles game or the Chiefs-Bills game back in the day. But Relics of Sports Talk, episode 195. Thank you for your participation. We out.